Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus and Zacchaeus. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was one of the most influential Jews in the Roman tax collecting business, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowds. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree beside the road so he could watch from there. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down, for I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the crowds were displeased. "He has gone to be a guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have overcharged people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a son of Abraham, and I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and save those like him who are lost." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank our sister in Christ for helping us to enter into worship, continue on this journey of worshiping God. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. We thank you for your word, Lord, and we thank you also for how you speak into our lives. And even in the stories that seem familiar, we are called to be open to how you will stretch us, to help us to grow, and fill us, and sustain us. Thank you, Father, for the blessing of your grace and truth in our lives. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. You know, the other evening on Thursday, in fact, we had trunk or treat here. And it was fun. It went well. I have taken off my mask, so this is my normal appearance, I know. But what was interesting to me is the response of people as they were coming in and as we were inviting them and as we were actually thanking them for coming. They were kind of taken back, and you know, sometimes we get in such a rush to go someplace or to do something, and I think that there were some folks that were coming to the event that were maybe even checking it off their list, because then they were going to go to another event, and that's okay, that's fine. Or maybe they just come from one event, they were there longer, and they felt like they were running out of time. They wanted to spend as much time as possible taking in the events inside and out here. You know, whenever we allow people to simply be and to say, "Welcome, enjoy, take your time," it can be such a blessing, can't it? Because what we're doing, in essence, is saying, don't simply follow what the world is saying you should be doing. Don't always be in such a rush. When we're here in worship, who are we open to? God. We're open to God. God, first of all, foremost. And that's where our focus should be. So while we all have things on our minds and maybe even appointments later today, maybe even a reservation for brunch, I don't like to talk about brunch too many times at the 8:30 service, because then I start hearing this rumbling. And it's not a movement of the Holy Spirit, I don't think. You know, one sister in Christ who was coming, she was coming to choir practice. I won't say who it was. But she was so excited to be back and to be here and to see me. I reached into her car to go ahead and give her a hug, and her car started moving again. And there have been some folks that have threatened to take me back to wherever they come from. And I thought, here we go, Neil. Just hold on for the ride. Neither of us were injured, and we're both as well as can be expected. Anyways, whenever we're rushing, whenever we're following something other than God's schedule for us, it can be very draining. It can be very tiring. And I think this morning, Zacchaeus really stopped following the schedule that he had been on and sought to follow how God was guiding him in his life, you know? Zacchaeus, we understand, was someone who was not only a tax collector, but he was kind of far up the ladder, all right? Tax collectors, as we were talking about last week, could really charge whatever they wanted. And they could collect whatever they wanted. And so it was an occupation, a position filled with rife and corruption. And it was something that you would not want to be in if you wanted to make friends and influence people. The influence was in a whole nother way. It wasn't positive. And Zacchaeus had been so good at basically shaking down people for taxes and for money that he had other people working underneath him. What happens is that whenever you assessed these taxes and duties, a cart, for instance, could be taxed for each wheel. Okay? Yeah. For the animal that pulled it, and for the merchandise that it carried. If you had a cart with four wheels, that's four taxes. One animal, that's five taxes. Taxes on the merchandise, that's six taxes. That adds up. And then Zacchaeus could go ahead and kind of charge whatever he wanted also. Above that, he had certain things that he had to pay to the occupying forces. And he also had, those under him that he was holding accountable, saying, you need to go ahead and bring in so much above and beyond, all right? Sometimes I hear about companies, major corporations, and it says that they suffered a loss for a particular quarter. Well, not necessarily. In business, what happens is that a corporation, and I don't have great business acumen, but I do know this, in businesses, in certain corporations, set a certain amount that they need to make, okay? That then they can say, okay, we did well. Now, are they making money no matter what? Yeah, probably. It's just that they didn't hit that level. You see what I'm saying? So don't feel too bad whenever you hear that Exxon suffered a loss, okay? Kind of brings a tear to my eye, actually. It's poor, poor people, executives. For us, Zacchaeus is in a predicament because he has this position of power and authority. And yet there's something that's been going on in his heart. There's something that's been very different, that's been churning in Zacchaeus. It just didn't happen this particular day. We can believe that it was something that was going on for a time now. God was speaking into his heart. God was reminding him, you belong to me, not to Rome. God was reminding him that I'm doing a new thing in you. And Zacchaeus really couldn't figure it out until he heard about this rabbi that was coming through town, through Jericho. Now, Jericho was a prosperous place. No question about it. Major trade route. All sorts of things happened in Jericho. And so he would have been busy with taking care of all those things. And yet what happened was that Zacchaeus, even though he was a man of power, even though he was a man with a lot of people underneath him, and believe me, underneath him was the appropriate way to say it, what did he find himself doing? Whenever he heard that Jesus was coming through, he ran. That was the first undignified thing. Now, for some of us, whenever we run, it's undignified because we look like we're flailing all over the place. And people get concerned because they think, look at that poor man, what's happening to him? But in this situation, Zacchaeus running, it was undignified because he was in a position of power. And then what does he do? Climbs up a tree. Another undignified thing. Anybody climb a tree recently? Trying to think of who I would be seeing in the hospital by any chance if somebody did. I would come, no question. But Zacchaeus climbs up this tree. Now I understand that he was vertically challenged, okay? We'll go ahead and just say that. So he climbed up in the tree because he wanted to be able to get a better look. Something about this rabbi, something about this Jesus that he had to experience. Well, I don't think that he ever experienced or thought what happened next would happen next. I really don't. He wanted to get a look. He didn't really care what people were thinking about him. By running, by climbing up the tree, he probably already had hurt his standing, quote unquote, in the community. Okay, maybe some of those people who worked under him were around there too and said, we're not going to work for this guy anymore. So he's up in the tree. And then who calls out to him? Who notices him? Who sees him and changes his life forever? Jesus. Zacchaeus. Boy, maybe it took a lot of work getting up in that tree. Now he's thinking, now how do I get down from here? You imagine Jesus kind of helping him down? I don't know. It doesn't say that in the scripture. Who knows? Jesus was one that was willing to redeem. Because of him, we are redeemed. We are saved. Because of the saving act of God's grace through Christ on the cross, we have new life as well. And Jesus is looking at us and saying, come, I want to spend time with you. And he said this to Zacchaeus. Well, that really set things off. If you ever think about Jesus as this, you know, very calm, quiet, subtle person that nobody notices, I think you need to read the Gospel of Luke again. Because he's anything but. People are saying, my gosh, not only is he talking to that chief sinner, not just tax collector, he's a chief sinner, but now he wants to spend time with him, wants to eat with him, wants to have fellowship with him. Who is this guy? What does Jesus think he's doing? Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. And this is an example of what God does in every life through Jesus. He calls us. He sees us. He notices us. That means we're never alone. Not only does he call us and notice us and see us, but he wants to spend time abiding with us. And he seeks to churn in us, to change us, to help us to grow, to stretch us, to fill us with an unending love. Not something that we can grab and hold on to from the world, not something that might give us happiness, but Jesus, God through Jesus, wants to give us joy. And that, my friends, I think is the greatest change in Zacchaeus. The joy of God through Jesus Christ. That's only something that God can provide. That's only something that God can give. And it happened on a heart level, deep inside. There's a story. The Reverend Dr. James Moore tells about an actual heart transplant. David Saussure, in his book entitled Number 4 is Still Alive. 10 years ago in the wee hours of the morning, God performed a miracle in me. It was not the first miracle he performed in my life, nor was it to be the last, but it was perhaps the most dramatic. A transplant team at Methodist Hospital under the leadership of Dr. Michael DeBakey performed their fourth heart transplant, replacing my damaged, doomed heart with one from a young man whose own life had tragically ended. Now, some may call this a miracle of modern science, but life itself is a miracle of God. And for another person's heart to grow to my severed aorta and become a part of the living me is a miracle of God in my book. David Saussure goes on to say, many people have asked me if I feel any different or if I act any different, if the transplant has changed my life in any way. I can answer that in three ways. First, he says, there's urgency. I live with a renewed sense of urgency, and that has changed my priorities because I realize that if I'm to stop and smell the roses, I had best do it now. Whose time schedule are you on? Second, he says, there is gratitude. I don't understand this miracle that has happened with me, within me, with my new heart. Can you imagine? All I can do is accept and feel grateful for each additional day I live. Amen. And he goes on to say, a third change is that now I walk a little closer to God, because when you've been through a harrowing experience with someone, you form a special bond with them. Recovering from the transplant was at times a harrowing experience, and I guarantee you, I clung to God for dear life during those times. He, God, was the good friend who saw me through. Sometimes the only one who thoroughly understood. I'm grateful that he was there for me. David Saussure concludes his essay with these powerful words. Deep down inside, I know that God will always take care of me. I also know that no one lives forever, and that someday God will decide he can better care for me on the other side of the Jordan. But until that time, number four is still alive and enjoying every minute of it. Amen. The transformation that took place in Zacchaeus was a heart transplant of sorts as well. And that takes place in each and every one of us whenever we humble ourselves, whenever we turn back to God, face Him in vulnerability, but also in hope, knowing that no matter who we are, what we've done, where we've come from, God sees us as His beautiful creation and wants to work in us in an even more powerful way. In communion, there is also celebration. The word Eucharist, which sometimes is what we use for communion, means thanksgiving. And we share the elements with each other, sometimes with terms like bread of heaven or cup of salvation. And whenever we receive and taste of God's goodness this morning in the Eucharist, in communion, in this celebration, we are tasting of God's goodness. We can understand that Jesus sees us. And as we taste the body and the blood, He's saying, I want to spend more time with you. I want to be at work in your life. And God's grace is offered to you, and God's joy and love is offered to you through me in more powerful ways than you can ever imagine. I'd invite the communion servers to come forward at this time as we prepare to receive these elements. Think about that. Think about seeing Jesus. Think about the wholeness and the welcome that He is seeking to bring into your life anew in the elements of communion. Wholeness, welcome, healing. Jesus, on that night with His disciples, broke bread. They were having a meal. But it became quite extraordinary, because we remember it to this very day, Think about a meal that you've had that's really good. How long did you remember it? Maybe a week, a month. If you had indigestion, maybe a night. This meal is so different because it's literally Jesus offering himself. God speaking into our lives, God's Holy Spirit filling you. Taste of God's goodness. The body of Christ, broken for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And more extraordinary things that evening. Jesus pouring out the cup. And saying, remarkably, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Zacchaeus was forgiven. So are we and all who come before God, in repentance and humility, knowing that God's grace is washing over us and God's love is filling us. The blood of Christ shed for the people of God. We are the people of God. Thanks be to God. After the communion stewards receive the elements of grace, you will be directed forward by the ushers. This is an open table. That means all are welcome to receive these elements of grace. If you cannot come forward, servers will come to you under the direction of the ushers.